Welcome back to the Gamer Heroes. I'm your host, John, with my co-host, Derek. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing well. It's been a kind of a busy week. not only here on the home front, but in the gaming world, and also for you. You went to BlizzCon.
I did. BlizzCon 2017. It has came and went.
So before we dive in, do you want to cover some brief news?
Sure.
Just here and there?
Yeah.
There's something I really want to talk about I thought was really interesting. So this was literally a couple days ago. Assassin's Creed. So have you played the new Assassin's Creed game that takes place in Egypt?
I have not played Origins, no.
Neither have I, only because the series lost me after 3. So that's kind of where I fall. I don't know what your guys' opinion out there is. But so this is kind of interesting. So there is a portion of the game where you're roaming the Giza pyramid, the big one, you know, the most famous one. And it's like a secret catacomb, or basically like the secret escape route for one of the pharaohs there. And it turns out that that catacomb or secret escape route is actually real. And it was actually just discovered this week. Now, how the hell did Ubisoft even think that up months ago or even a year ago when they thought of making this game? Isn't that insane?
That is really crazy. Part of me has to think that it must have been something that was theorized, that was being researched and studied, and it just so happened to be confirmed at a convenient time.
They literally just made this discovery this past week, which is insane.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, you're roaming those in the game. It's kind of there's like a whole mission on it.
Yeah,
which is insane.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's kind of funny how the worlds kind of blend sometimes. But, you know, maybe they had like some big hot tip and they knew it was kind of coming down the pipe.
Yeah. All I can think about is they hired like a structural engineer and he just kind of described this is where things would be. And they kind of just made it. I thought that was pretty interesting. It's kind of a weird thing. So I was like, man, we really got to talk about that. Also, there was some news regarding the Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2 games for the Switch.
Yes.
I know you're excited. You haven't played those games, and I have. Like, I've played them both. And I really liked Resident Evil Revelations 2. And it's kind of like a Saw-type scenario, except with biological weapons or mutated people. And basically, I guess it's including all the DLC. There's going to be new controls, which it only makes sense for the Switch. Are you pretty excited for that?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had much of a chance to play the Resident Evil games, so I'm really looking forward to getting these two. I like when they try and bring some new stuff to the Switch, especially third-party stuff. So it's definitely on my radar, something I'm gonna pick up if I have the time.
Yeah, same here. Like, I mean, I already own it on PS4 because the Revelations 2 only came out on PS4 and Xbox One. So people who didn't own an Xbox or a PlayStation never got to play that game. So I think that's really cool that they're bringing that. And there's a lot of DLC. One of the most things that me and my wife still play, Hillary, we're still trying to play the raid mode in Revelations 2, and it's kind of like a bunch of mini challenges, and you can do it co-op. They did not confirm cooperative play, so I was kind of curious about that because the game is heavily based on cooperative. So I was wondering if that was going to be a thing or how that was going to work. So they didn't talk about that, but they are going to be adding some new game modes. So I'm excited just to try those out. Cause raid is like, I mean, it is the most comprehensive, long and challenging thing I have seen in a long time. We're talking gauntlets that are like, So let me put it this way. There's like a difficulty level for each gauntlet. There's four gauntlets. There's like a beginner, advanced, expert, and so on, right? And there's like 50, and then each gauntlet has five. So there's five, like for each level, you've got 50 gauntlets with five missions in them at each skill level. Isn't that insane?
That's pretty intense.
It's a lot. Like, we're talking like hours and hours and hours of extra content just in raid mode alone. So we've been playing this for months, trying to beat them all. So I'm excited to see what they can come up with, what they've added that's new.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any news that you want to talk about?
I did start playing a new Switch game today, actually. I only got to play for like an hour. But previously we played a game called Ironcast from Ripstone. And there's a review I have for it up at heroespodcast.com. Well, they've got a brand new game that came out late last week, actually, while I was traveling to BlizzCon, called Chess Ultra. And I know some people out there, tabletop gaming is not your thing, but if you're like me and you like both worlds, being able to take tabletop games with you is a huge thing for me. I mean, being able to play a game like Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan and even Pandemic on the road is awesome. So Chess Ultra is a high-def chess game that Ripstone came out with last week, and it's available on Switch. Now you can go and get it in the eShop, and so I'm going to be playing that. It's really cool so far. Well, my favorite thing about it is that it actually has 10 historical chess games that you can play that took place. Some of them even took place in like the 1800s. And these are just like historically significant chess games. And I'm really excited to play these and see how I do. They have scenarios where it's like, you know, it's, five moves to checkmate or seven or just one. And you can play through these scenarios and, stuff like that. So I'm going to be playing that a bit this week to kind of see what that's like, and I'll probably throw a review together, but I just wanted to throw that out there. That if you,
that's pretty cool.
If you liked Ironcast, which was a really, really good game, this has the same kind of polish and same type of kind of tone, as Ironcast. And this is called Chess Ultra from Ripstone. So I'm going to be playing that this week, and I'll have a review at heroespodcast.com. Either later this week, you know, maybe early next week with Kansas City Comic Con. It's hard to say. So,
yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. So is it like 3D like chess pieces, and you're kind of like they do a lot of fun stuff with the camera, or?
Well, yeah. So it's a three-dimensional space, and there's different you can load up different rooms, different kinds of chess pieces. So, you know, are they made out of plastic or metal or ceramic? And there's different color schemes, and there's, you know, music in the background, and a lot of different settings that you can play with, which is really cool. So, and then before we move on, we are going to be at Kansas City Comic Con this weekend, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, at Bartle Hall in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. We're going to have panels. John and I will be doing a live episode of Gamer Heroes. I don't know which day yet, but we will be there. We are at booth number 643. So be sure to stop by and say hi. And John, I know you guys, Buster Props has a table somewhere too, right?
Just about to say that. Yeah, we're actually kind of in the center, closer to the exit. Booth number, I'm looking it up right now because I can't seem to recall what the exact number was.
417.
Boom, there you go. He's got it memorized.
I got you.
We're at booth 417, which, like I said, is kind of right in the middle of the convention. So please come by, check us out. I'm going to be debuting some fun new stuff there at the convention. You guys can pick up your very own Pickle Rick. Limited nice. Supply, very exclusive.
Awesome.
Pickle Rick. I'm pretty happy about that one. I'm the cowl guy, so I'll have Batgirls, Catwoman's, I'll have Batman. I'll have maybe a new Batman cowl. Based on a video game, actually, the Telltale Batman. So,
nice.
I know that's been popular. So come check them out. And we're doing a little giveaway. So you could win a Domino mask or a Pickle Rick. I don't know. Come by and find out.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let's continue on then. What's next on the docket?
Well, I mean, if you don't have any other further news to discuss, I mean, I want to talk about your experience at BlizzCon, man.
Yeah, I guess BlizzCon is the news. Tons of news from BlizzCon.
Let's start with the first thing I want you to tell me in comparison. So if you guys don't know this, Derek has went to BlizzCon for the past 3 years or four.
So this is my third time in 4 years physically going. Last year I tried the virtual ticket for the first time. So this was my third year. The first year was in 2014. Went back in 2015, virtual ticket in 2016, and then back this year. So
okay, so it's safe to say you're a veteran.
Not as much as some. You know, there are some people, of course, who have been there to all 11 BlizzCons.
That's insane.
I know a couple of people who have, and I know several people who've been to more than me. So I consider myself, you know, more in the know than the average person. But if you are a Blizzard fanboy like I am, you've probably been as many times as me, if not more. So
I want to know, this is what I want to know. I've never been. In comparison to the previous years that you've went, do you feel, I want to get your first impressions on this year's BlizzCon versus previous year's BlizzCon. So just kind of give me a brief,
sure,
what you thought.
So I was a little spoiled in 2014, for those who don't know, that was the year Overwatch was announced. So I was lucky enough to be sitting at the main stage during opening ceremonies when they showed what appeared to be a Pixar trailer and nobody had any idea what was going on. And they were announcing their first new IP in over a decade. That was huge. And
that's insane. Yeah.
You're not going to repeat that too often, you know, but I will say this. So the first 2 years I went were two of the best weekends of my life. I had an amazing time both years between the games, the free activities, the panels, the food trucks, the cosplay, just everything about it. So last year I got the virtual ticket and I stayed home. I watched a bunch of the panels. I got the goodie bag. The free digital stuff, of course, and built some IKEA furniture. And just really, I really felt kind of out of the loop, like I wasn't really part of the experience and all that. So I wanted to go back. And I went back with the two guys I went with the first year, one of the guys I've now been with all three of those times. And we stayed at the Clarion Hotel, which, for those who don't know, there are three hotels right by the Anaheim Convention Center. There's the Hilton, which is like the convention hotel. I was lucky enough to stay there the first year. And then there's a Marriott. And then those are across convention away from each other. And then the next one over is the Clarion. So we were really close. You could even see the convention center from the Clarion. And so that was great. But there were so many people this year. Over 30,000 people this year. They even sold us a second separate batch of tickets over the summer because the new Hall H was done being built and could be used for the convention. I don't have exact numbers, but I think the last time I went, there was 20,000 people.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of people.
It's a big jump. And so everything was exaggerated. It took longer to walk between stuff. It took longer to wait in line. It was a little bit harder to get food and walk around and kind of enjoy the experience. It was a little bit more stressful, I would say. A little bit more like a massive convention like Dragon Con or something like that, where it's just people everywhere and you spend a lot of your time walking place to place. You know, I did not enjoy myself as much as I did the first 2 years. That's for sure.
Well, you got a lot to compare it to, so. And I guess I asked a loaded question. I guess I was more asking, was this a good year or not?
So, for Blizzard, it's a good year. They definitely announced some cool stuff. We got to play some really great pre-release content. We'll talk all about that. They've got some really exciting things coming down the pipeline. And they, I mean, for the most part, they did what what we expected them to do. So going into the convention, I had things I expected and things I wanted. I expected them to announce a new Overwatch character, a new expansion, the WoW, a couple new heroes, Heroes of the Storm characters, a new expansion to Hearthstone. That's what I expected. I hoped for new Diablo content of some kind. I hoped for a announcement of a Warcraft 2 movie or Warcraft 4, the video game. But we didn't get those things. We basically got exactly what I expected. Other than that, you know, Diablo was not touched. StarCraft got a little bit of stuff. But overall, it was a good convention. There was a lot of good stuff. We got to see the Overwatch Arena, which was just this really, really cool space. I've got it on my Twitter. I've got a photo out there at the Star Trek dude, if you want to check that out from
guys, November. this is the global esports tournament. Like, you're actually looking at the arena for the, like,
well, so the way they
part
had
of
it
the
set
US
up,
teams.
Basically, all of the big Blizzard world championships and some name or another happen at BlizzCon, and they're big enough now that each game gets its own stage. So the Overwatch World Cup had the Overwatch Arena, which historically is where StarCraft would have been played. You had the Hearthstone Invitational, spelled with two N's. You had the Heroes Global, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, Championship, the Heroes Global Championship.
Right.
For Heroes of the Storm. And so you had these really big events going on that all finished on Saturday of the convention. For those who don't know, South Korea did win the first ever Overwatch World Cup, sweeping Canada in the finals. I did not really have a dog in the fight, but it would have been nice to not see Canada get swept. You know, it is the finals. It would have been nice to have it be a little bit closer.
So I was mistaken. I was reading, I guess maybe I was reading information that we were expecting US to do better, but they got whooped.
US did okay. I mean, I would say that they did okay. I wouldn't say they did great. They did all right. Nothing really exciting came from that. No one really was shocked, of course, that South Korea won. They have dominated Blizzard esports for quite some time and have been very, very good. So it certainly wasn't any kind of upset or shock to anybody. The only thing for me, I was just surprised that Canada got swept. I expected it to be a little closer. So of course you have the big championships. They also did some big announcements for the Overwatch League, which is different than the World Cup. The Overwatch League is the new official esports league that begins its preseason next month in December, with its first season kicking off in early January. And I guess I can go into a little detail there. There are 12 teams. Most of them are from the United States. You've got basically Boston, Dallas, Florida, Houston, Los Angeles, well, two Los Angeles teams, New York, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. And then you have international teams from Seoul, South Korea, Shanghai, China, and London, England, all have teams as well. So there's 12 total teams that will be battling it out, two different divisions. Basically, the season runs from January to June, 6 months, give or take. And, you know, you can go out and buy jerseys and gear, and they're going to have in-game skins and stuff for the various teams inside of Overwatch, so you can support your team. Since there's no Kansas City team or even like Chicago, I guess I'm going to have to go for the Philadelphia Fusion since I'm from Philly. That'll be the team I guess I will support, though I don't really have a leaning one way or the other right now, simply because, you know, they don't have a Kansas City team. But
right. I was going to say, like, it's at this point kind of just major cities, right?
I mean, it is, but I mean, Chicago is the third largest market in the States, and LA's got two teams. Dallas and Houston each have a team. So I would have liked to have seen Chicago get one. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you're, I don't know, like, we're talking $10 million buy-in.
So. No, 20. 20 million.
20 million, yeah. I know they say this every time. It's just insane. So there's not a lot of people in, I don't know, Kansas City that would even be able to get in.
Do you think Chicago would, as the third largest market?
I could see that, you know, yeah. So. There's probably a millionaire in Chicago somewhere, but I don't know.
I guess we'll see. We'll find out, you know. But that's kicking off. Very little information on how to actually watch the Overwatch League. I assume we'll be streaming it, but how, I don't know. But what will it cost? I don't know. I do know you can pay for tickets to physically go to Blizzard's new arena and watch the games in person if you happen to live out in that area. But for the rest of us, I assume we're going to have to stream it somehow, but I don't know how yet. They won't really tell us.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So let's kind of go over some of the things that were considered the biggest announcements this year. So
all right.
I think I'll just start with, since we're talking about Overwatch, new hero named Moira.
Yes, Moira
was you get to play her, didn't you?
I did. I played her briefly. So she was really a fun surprise because they, of course, had released Doomfist earlier over the late summer, and we knew all about him now. And people have been kind of clamoring for a new support character for quite some time. Not really me, because I'm very happy with Mercy, especially with her new changes. So, you know, I'm good with that. However, she is a support character. She is kind of unique in that first off, she is a member of Talon, who is kind of the not good guys group.
Right.
They hesitate to call them bad guys, but it's the not good guys. She is with Doomfist, and you know, Reaper and them versus, you know, Mercy is with Tracer and Winston. So she does have healing abilities, which is pretty cool. I'm just going to give you the straight synopsis of what her role is from playoverwatch.com. So Moira's bionic abilities enable her to contribute healing or damage in any crisis. While Bionic Grasp gives Moira short range options, her bionic orbs contribute longer range hands-off damage and healing. She can also fade, which I'll talk about in a minute, to escape groups or remain close to allies in need of support. Once she's changed coalescence, Moira can save multiple allies from elimination at once, or finish off weakened enemies. She's considered a 2-star for difficulty out of 3, so not one of the easiest, but definitely not one of the hardest characters. The fade ability is really cool. It's very similar to Reaper's kind of strafing ability that he has. I'm drawing a blank on the name of that ability, but she can just teleport. Yeah. But yeah, she's got these orbs, and basically she can throw them, and she can either throw one that heals her teammates, or she can throw one that sucks the life from bad guys, which is pretty neat. Her ultimate, I imagine, is going to get nerfed, but she basically shoots a giant beam that will heal her allies and hurt her enemies all at the same time, and she can just maneuver this beam around hitting people, which is pretty crazy. But she's really cool. She's pretty smooth to play. I had a really positive experience playing with her. So, you know, I would definitely say that anybody who's curious should give her a try. She is out now in the PTR. So,
right. I was going to say you can only get her in the PTR right now,
but that was still really fast. I mean, she was playable at Overwatch, on Friday, and now Monday when we're recording this, she's available in the PTR. So
that's true.
But she does join the support cast. So there's 6 support characters now, which evens that up with the tanks and the defensive characters, kind of helping balance the game a bit from that standpoint. She does have some skins that are coming out. One in particular that's caught a lot of people's attention is what we're kind of calling her David Bowie skin, which I also have a picture of on my Twitter, if you want to go check that out. And go try her for yourself. If you're looking for a support character, I think she's a really interesting one to go with, especially if you're not happy with some of the others that are out there. And she can also do a decent amount of damage. So, that's Moira.
That's Moira. All right. Well, I mean, that was, we were kind of expecting, like you said earlier, we were kind of expecting a new character. I think it's cool that since she's part of the Black Watch organization, I think it's weird they called her a new hero.
Well, they're all heroes.
Are right? they, so though? I mean, so, Doomfist is clearly not a hero.
Well, okay, so the way Overwatch's kind of meta works, it's a lore, is not really about good versus evil. It's about gray areas and characters from different walks of life. And they are a hero to somebody, is the idea, right?
Oh, now, okay.
There is this idea of good versus bad. Reaper comes off as a bit of a bad guy because he wears a skull mask and when he does his ultimate, says, die,
he's a
die,
hitman.
Die.
What do you expect?
Right? And Tracer, of course, is this adorable, fun, bright character that everybody loves, so she's obviously a good guy. And in the archetypal sense, yeah, that's very cut and dry. But, you know, a lot of these characters are flawed individuals. They're damaged in certain ways. They have very tragic stories. They did release a new short for Reinhardt, called Honor and Glory. And
I saw that, where he's young.
I'm not going to spoil any of it. Go watch it yourself. Go to playoverwatch.com and watch it. But you'll learn that Reinhardt has some really intense emotional baggage. Some things happened to him before Overwatch, before all of this stuff happened and he became old. And it's important that you know that these things happen. He's not just this pure hero necessarily. So rather than just call them characters, they're called heroes, and Moira is a hero.
Okay. I appreciate the over explanation. I'm just kidding. There's a lot of cool skins that were released. I actually really, really like what's his name's?
The David
Roadhog's Butcher is sick.
Yes, the Blizzard World skins.
They're sick. Some of them are really badass. I actually like the Butcher. I think that's really cool. Big fan of the new Widowmaker skin. She's blonde-haired. Normal skin.
It's Nova from
It's
StarCraft.
Nova, yeah. It's the Nova one, which is super cool.
It's interesting. It has some... Okay, so... There's a reason I take some issue with it. So in Heroes of the Storm, they have created separate characters for a lot of these. You can be these different characters rather than have skins. Now they're basically showing that we don't need separate characters. We can just throw skins on these characters. So with that in mind, you know, a character like Butcher or Stitches, maybe they just need to be skins. Maybe they don't need to be entirely separate characters. Or, you know, Roadhog does not need to be a totally separate character in Heroes of the Storm. Same goes for Widowmaker. You know, having her just be a Nova skin is fine. And so that's cool. What's interesting here, though, is that this ties into the new level, the new map that they announced, which is called Blizzard World. And in Blizzard World, which is a Blizzard theme park inside of Overwatch, Blizzard Entertainment as a company exists. However, Overwatch, the video game, does not. Overwatch never became a video game because it was real. So basically what this has done is said that these actual real characters, these real people like Widowmaker, can dress up, essentially cosplay as Blizzard video game characters.
Right. No, I totally get that. I don't know, like... People have grown to love these heroes, and I don't know, like, sure, adding new characters is nice, but they want to keep it fresh, so you want to add a new character every month, that's great, but I don't know, I think it's skins are perfectly fine, I think they're pretty cool, and I'm okay with them releasing new characters once every few months.
Well, I'm not saying that they needed to release new characters, I just think it's a little weird to bring in these other skins into Overwatch. Until now, Overwatch was very much its own thing.
I was hoping that they would do that, actually, at some point, crossover, because, I mean, how badass would it be? Because Genji already kind of looks like Ninja from Well, he goes by Deep Throat. He's riding in Metal Gear. How cool would that be at some point to get a Metal Gear skin?
Okay, so based on what
I don't
we know,
see that. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, this might be the doorway to, I don't know, some kind of negotiations with other companies to say, hey, can we borrow, I don't know, the likeness of your character?
I would not hold your breath for that.
Well, Nova is kind of her own character, so...
But she's from a Blizzard game. She's from StarCraft, which is owned by Blizzard. So that's not weird. The only thing I would expect would be maybe a Destiny character, because Activision is the publisher for Blizzard. So that's a possibility, but I would not... And you can now, like, Destiny 2 is part of the Battle.net launcher on your PC, if you play on PC. But outside of that, I would not anticipate this becoming like Super Smash Brothers, where, you know, Sonic and Metal Gear or Solid Snake are going to be showing up, you know?
Okay, I mean, that's fair. But since you mentioned, I'm going to move on here. Since you did mention Heroes of the Storm, it looks like another one of the big announcements was Dragons of the Nexus. Tell us a little bit more about that. It looks like Hanzo is going to be joining Heroes of the Storm.
Yes. Yeah. So Heroes of the Storm has like, I think it's like 75 characters now.
That's insane.
It's a lot of characters.
Like, that's like sensory overload. It's like too much.
It is hard to know which characters to pick sometimes and to be get good at, because, you know, even if you're good at five different characters at the same time, you're still leaving off 70 characters. So, but yeah, so they announced two new characters. They're calling it Dragons of the Nexus, and it is Hanzo from Overwatch, of course, and Alexstrasza from WoW, and she's really cool. Hanzo's fine. Hanzo is a master assassin. He, of course, shoots arrows and can shoot his dueling dragons thing.
That's a great explanation.
I mean, look, if you play Overwatch, you know who Hanzo is. He's not all that different in Heroes of the Storm. Obviously, you have to tweak some stuff to make it fit that game. But Alexstrasza is where it's really cool. She's the Life Binder, so she is the guardian of all life on Azeroth. So she's, you know, the dragon of life, essentially. And so she's, you know, a little bit different than your average dragon. Dragons usually, you know, death, destruction, fire. But she's not like that. She's much more about healing. She's more of a support character. Her first primary ability is called Gift of Life, where she can actually sacrifice some of her own health to heal an ally, which is really cool. My favorite part about her, though, is that she can actually turn into a dragon.
That's pretty sick. I mean, that's one of the coolest features ever.
Yeah, her.
Who doesn't want to go Drago on everyone's ass?
Her hero trait is called Dragon Queen, and she transforms into the dragon, which is just awesome. It's a really cool looking dragon. They did a really nice job with it. I did not get a chance to play as her because everybody wanted to play as her, but it was pretty cool. That was really neat.
That is pretty sweet that you got to experience that. When are we going to see? You said he's already available, or when are we going to see these characters come?
No, they're not available yet. They should be available for the beginning of the next season of play. That should be mid-December.
Cool. Well, I know I keep bouncing here, but the only other thing for Overwatch was a map called Blizzard World.
And
I mean, I'm trying to understand this better. So is this like the exact specs of the convention?
No, it's nothing like BlizzCon. It's really a theme park. Like, there's rides.
Okay.
And like, they have there's a food counter called Snackceramus, and you know, there's the Lost and Found Vikings, and you like have that. to do, the different Overwatch world, not Overwatch, the different Blizzard worlds are represented in Blizzard World, because this is, it's very meta. All right.
The idea is very meta. It's like, hey guys, we're Disneyland of games.
Right. But it's their games. I mentioned it a little bit already, but basically in the Overwatch universe, Blizzard exists as a company, but they never made Overwatch because Overwatch is real. And so they did make all their other games. So there's rides for WoW and there's rides for StarCraft and Diablo. And in fact, it seems that the level itself, which is it's a payload map.
It looks like it's going to be both attack and protect the payload type map.
Right. Yeah. And so basically it looks like you're transporting, and of course, there we go. I'm just drawing a blank on the name of it.
He's just drawing blanks left and right, guys.
From Diablo, basically, it's the
there's the a thing. Diablo ride in there.
Yes, that's where you end. You end in the tomb, best. Which is really neat.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. Like, you go through these different areas. There's some really nice choke points and different levels. It's a really cool map. It was actually the only map you could play at the convention. And it's a really good map. I really like it a lot. It was a lot of fun. It's a little tight quarters at times, but it kind of forces you to interact and engage, and it worked really well.
Well, the only thing I'd say that's disappointing about that is that we probably won't be able to play this until 2018.
The map, yeah, I mean, the map's not ready yet, which
that
kind of
sucks. I think that's kind of shitty. It's like, here, let me show you something you can't have for another 3 months or more.
Well, I mean, that's what BlizzCon is, though. BlizzCon is about showing what they're working on, what's coming next, and giving people who are there an opportunity to play those things. When Overwatch was announced, it was announced at BlizzCon 2014. We could play it that weekend with a very limited number of characters, only 3 maps. And the game didn't release until, like, the end of May or whatever. And so, you know, it was a long time. The new expansion for WoW doesn't even have a date yet that right. They announced. You know, that's not what it's really about. BlizzCon is about what they're doing next. Here's what we're working on. Here's what's being released. Here's the future progression of these games. And if you happen to be able to be there, then you can play some of this stuff in demo versions.
I mean, I understand the reason for it. I'm just saying, like, hey, what about us? Okay, so let's move on to the other big thing that was announced. So it looks like World of Warcraft is getting a new vanilla server. It's getting a new server, which will also host a new expansion pack called the Battle of Azeroth.
Yes and no.
About this.
So they had 2 announcements together that for some people are kind of bleeding together. So first off, they did announce World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth, which is the new expansion, which most people were expecting something to be announced. The idea here is that it goes back to the roots of WoW, which is, you know, Horde versus Alliance, you know, for the Horde and for the Alliance and Azeroth and all of that. And, you know, it's a cool kind of throwback to the core game, but, you know, the tone's a little off. You know, the stakes could not be higher when we've just saved the world from, you know, a giant world ending destruction kind of thing. That's not what's happening here. Basically, 2 continents were found, one for the Horde, one for the Alliance, and you do stuff on your continent and then you fight each other. And, I'm not saying that that's bad. It's definitely harkens back to the older ways of WoW, but at the same time, it's nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking. But that is happening. There's a bunch of stuff in there about allied races, which people were very excited about, but seems unclear to me. So, you know, whatever works, but we'll have to see. There's pirates and plundering and things like that, which is cool. The cinematic for it is really nice, so I would urge people to watch the cinematic at worldofwarcraft.com. But the other piece of news was the announcement for World of Warcraft Classic. which I'm sure will lead us to some type of new Coke scenario. But basically, for people who don't know, there has been talk of a thing called WoW Vanilla or Vanilla Warcraft or Vanilla WoW. And basically, it's WoW without all the changes over the years from all of the various expansions and upgrades. The way the game was when it originally released. And Blizzard had the unauthorized servers that were out there recently shut down because they were not really supported. It wasn't, you know, them. It was somebody else. And they've decided to take it upon themselves to launch their own official version of Vanilla WoW. They made some fun jokes about how, you know, they had auctioned off the original servers and they're going to need those back now, which was pretty funny. But the idea here is to bring back some kind of vanilla WoW. No idea when this is going to happen. It certainly sounds like this is very early on. They had a fun cinematic for it. That was really a cool cinematic. But I would not expect this to be available anytime soon. If we're lucky, it might be playable at BlizzCon 2018. But I would not hold your breath.
Okay. Well, that's a lot. I mean, I don't really play WoW, so for me it's, you know, nothing crazy. But, yeah, I guess it is kind of confusing why they put that together. And then they're trying to hype you up, like, hey, we're going back to the classic WoW. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of, to me, you realize you've went too far and you've kind of blurred everything, and now you're deciding you want to go back.
Well, I don't think it's that. There's a large fan base that liked the concept of Vanilla WoW, and I think Blizzard is just saying, all right, well, if people want that, then we'll give them that, which I can appreciate.
How many people is that, though? Like, I mean...
Apparently enough, and I mean, so, okay, I am not a WoW player. I play all of Blizzard's other games, and it's because the world of Warcraft is a little daunting. There have been many expansions over the years, tons of customization available, tons of lore, and I really feel like if I were to jump in now at, you know, level 110, you know, to max out getting ready for Battle for Azeroth, which lets you go to 120, yeah, I'm pretty out of the loop. So if they actually release a vanilla WoW where I could start from the beginning with people who are just playing the beginning, that seems less daunting to me and something that I might actually be interested in doing.
I could see that. I can understand that. So you're saying you would play this?
I'm saying that I am interested in it. I need to know, okay. I need to know more about it. We have no idea what it's going to cost. We have no idea if it's legitimately vanilla or if there's going to be some changes, because there have been some quality of life changes over the years in WoW that are for the good, some for the bad.
Right.
Are they going to keep any, or are they going to go legitimately vanilla? Because they're using the word classic and not vanilla, they have some wiggle room to have it not be literally the same as it was.
Right. That's a very clever point to point out there. Yeah, they're playing it cautiously. Okay, well, the next biggest thing that was announced was StarCraft II is going to be free to play.
Woo! Free to play! Yay!
and actually, that's going to be coming up here next week, November 14th. You're going to be able to play Wings of Liberty, StarCraft II, Wings of Liberty.
Yeah, so I don't think they should have used the term free to play. That's a market term, an industry term that means something very specific. And when I hear it, I think of the mobile version of Dungeon Keeper from EA, where after playing it for a few days, I have to spend money to finish my buildings if I ever want to play the game again.
Right. Or
a game like Hearthstone or Heroes of the Storm, where, yeah, you can play for free, but if you want the new hero or if you want the new card decks, you know, you're going to have to put in some money. This is legitimately free. So they're going to give you StarCraft II with the Wings of Liberty campaign completely free, just straight up. You can download it, you can play it, which is pretty cool. You'll have access to the ranked multiplayer ladder, which is really exciting as well. It's really there. It's really the free version of the game. They're not giving you all of the expansions, but they are kind of cheaper. The Heart of the Swarm Heart of the Swarm, Legacy of the Void, and the Nova Corps operations will all be $14.99 a piece, or you can get all three together for $40, which is pretty cool. So it's a good way for you to get kind of the older stuff, catch up, you know, see if you like the game at all, and if you do, get the expansions. I have Heart of the Swarm. I do not have Legacy of the Void or the Nova Covert Ops. I never got to that point.
Right. I've never played it. It just, in my opinion, it just doesn't really... There's so many other games for me to play at that that StarCraft has not piqued my interest. But that's fine. And that's okay. I love Overwatch. So, and I love the character Nova.
Well, it's an RTS, and I love RTSs, so I like StarCraft and StarCraft II quite a bit. I've actually been contemplating purchasing StarCraft Remastered. The original version is free now if you want to play it, by the way. So, you know, it's a good chance for people to play some real classic RTS games. StarCraft II is still played all over the world with championships. As a legitimate esport. So if you like RTS games at all, I would recommend you at least check it out since it's going to be free here in like a week.
All right. Yeah, like I said, next week, November 14th. And the last thing that you were really excited about when I mentioned it was Hearthstone's new update is going to be Kobolds and Catacombs.
Yes.
Tell me about this. Like, it sounds really cool. The pictures look really cool, and it looks like it's going to return to the roots of fantasy. So tell me about it.
So first off, Hearthstone, for people who don't know, is basically a digital deck building game like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon, but all digital. And it's a lot of fun. You can play it completely free if you'd like. If you want to play competitively or ranked, you're probably going to need to spend some money. They have some wonderful single-player adventures that that you can purchase that are like miniature story modes that you end up having. If you play through, you get cards you can keep and things like that. So this new one, Kobolds and Catacombs, should be coming out here soon. I'm drawing a blank on the date, but soon. Anyway, basically, this is a new single-player mode. It's going to be completely free, which is totally crazy. Because you usually have to spend $20 for these. So I'm really excited about that. And think of it like a dungeon. So for those who play Dungeons & Dragons or other dungeon crawler games, you go into a cave, and the cave goes left or the cave goes right. Which way do you want to go?
I like that. Choice.
It's going to give you options. And as you go and you defeat areas of the dungeon, you're going to earn new cards. And the new cards go into your special deck for this adventure that grows. You only start out with like 10 cards, and it slowly builds your deck up to 30. You're going to get special upgrades to your hero abilities. One in particular, I was playing as Mage in the demo, and it upgraded my hero ability. So she has a pyroblast, and instead of it costing 2 for 1 damage, it costs 1 for 2 damage, which is just a huge increase. So there's going to be 48 different dungeon bosses that you can go up against. Plus, of course, you have all of the different classes you can play as. So there's a ton of replayability. The dungeon is randomized, and the cards are unique and strange. There's some really cool stuff in there that you're going to get. And for anybody who logs into Hearthstone, like I think it's like this week or whatever, gets a special card too. So I recommend everybody go and do that to get your special card. If you went to BlizzCon, you'll get a gold edition of it, but of course it's the same thing. It doesn't actually change the gameplay. But yeah, it's a new Hearthstone expansion. Brand new cards are out there. It focuses on the kobolds, which are really fun characters. Yeah, you can pre-order the packs of those cards now for when they come out.
Exciting, exciting stuff. I know you're really big into Hearthstone, and it's a really interesting concept. it's like, I don't know, for me, looking at it from the outsider's perspective, it's like a really cool version of, I don't want to say Dungeons and Dragons, but I don't know. What's the other important, like the big popular card game?
Well, it's like Magic the Gathering.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking. I don't know why I said Dungeons and Dragons. I meant Magic. I had something in mind. Yes, Magic the Gathering, but like, because they've done digital versions of Magic, except I feel like obviously Blizzard probably got it right.
This is, it's a little different here because Blizzard has a certain tone and a style that they use. And so in this particular case, there's a lot of personality in these cards. You know, there's a lot of dialogue and quotes and little jokes thrown in there and things like
there's,
that.
Well, there's supposed to be like 8 random bosses, and there's going to be like, if you lose, the deck gets thrown out. So there's going to be some consequences.
There's some crazy stuff. There's some cards in here that do some amazing things that are just in the solo player stuff that you're never going to be able to build in a deck to fight other people. But it's fun. It's cool story stuff, and it's totally free. So you can play it on Android and iPhone, PC. I would at least check it out since you can do it without having to pay a dime.
Right. Play it for free. Free to play, right?
Well, in this particular case, the Kobolds and Catacombs story is free.
Right.
If you want to play anything else, you might want to buy some card packs or something like that. But if you just want to play the story mode for Kobolds and Catacombs, that is free.
So this is all of that I could muster up on what was announced. Is there something that we're missing that was big?
Not really. I mean, that's pretty much it. There was a ton of stuff. I went to a really cool panel about where Overwatch came from and how it was made, which was really neat. Maybe we'll touch on that a bit next week because we're closing in on time here. That's it as far as major announcements.
I will say the one thing again that I'm kind of pissed off about, and I know we were talking about this not on a podcast, but in person at one point. This is the anniversary of Diablo, and we didn't get shit for Diablo. Well,
the anniversary was last year, and they did have the 20th anniversary event, which happens now every year in January, where you can basically play an old Diablo-style dungeon. And we got the Necromancer class added to Reaper of Souls earlier this year.
Earlier in the year, yeah.
Yeah.
That
was the anniversary last year. This year, there's no anniversary. So
it just pisses me off that we didn't get anything Diablo.
No, but Diablo was there. You could play it. It's in the Blizzard World map on Overwatch, but that's about it.
So, what would you say, just real briefly, your biggest disappointment of this year?
My biggest disappointment. I'll give you two different things. From a convention perspective, it was the sheer number of people. It was difficult to get from place to place and stand in line for as long as you needed to really enjoy it as much as I was used to enjoying it. But from a video game standpoint, having literally nothing announced for Diablo, that nothing isn't even in the works, was definitely disappointing because Diablo is my favorite of the Blizzard games. So to know that there's nothing being talked about, there's nothing in the pipe that's worth talking about at all, was a little disappointing.
That I totally agree. Like, I was just looking and hoping and waiting, like, oh, when are they going to announce? When is Diablo? And it turns out, no, there was nothing. So, I guess that kind of wraps us up, right? I mean, we've talked about BlizzCon. Is there anything you want to end regarding BlizzCon?
Nope, I mean, that's pretty much it. If you've never been before, there are a lot of really good things. Great video games, great panels, great cosplay, great food. It's in Anaheim, so make the trip longer. Go to Disneyland or Universal or whatever. Keep your eye on it if it's something you want to do. Tickets usually go on sale in April in two different batches, on a weekday and a weekend. They do sell out, so just something to be aware of. Next year, I'm leaning towards the virtual ticket.
Yeah, you're going to leave. I know you just said you missed that opportunity. You felt like you missed the experience. I think last year would have been a better one to go to.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say since I wasn't there. This year they was the first time they had the new Hall H open. So I know their whole setup was different from that standpoint. Maybe it's just it may have outgrown the space. Maybe it's too many people. You know,
it's definitely large. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of people. So great. Well, I'm going to let you take us home. Finish off with our normal plugging.
Of course. So we are the Gamer Heroes Podcast, part of the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find us at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook and Twitter, heroespodcast.com. Go to iTunes, drop us a review. When we get to 10 reviews, we're still trying to give away a video
game. We're trying to give away. This is the sad part. We're trying to give away.
But like I said before, be sure to come and see us at Kansas City Comic Con November 10th, 11th, and 12th. We are going to be hosting three panels for three of our shows, Gamer Heroes, Screen Heroes, and Costume Couture. You can find us at booth number 643. You can find John with Ryan at Buster Props at booth 417. And Ray of Siren Ray Cosplay, a co-host with me on Screen Heroes, at booth CP14. So come check us out and say hi. We will be very excited to see you. It's our first ever convention for the Heroes Podcast Network. So don't hesitate to come and say hi to us. Jeremy of Red Shirts and Runabouts, as well as the Saturday Morning Tooncast, will be with me. Ian of Costume Couture will also be with me. So we're going to have a great weekend. John, if they want to say hi to you or contact you in social media, how do they do it?
The best way to do it is to message Buster Props. If you have any questions, you can find our page. We're on Instagram and Facebook. It's just Buster Props. So nothing too crazy there. But if you wanted to make a purchase, you can find us on Etsy as Buster Props. Or if you have any questions, so...
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to see us at Kansas City Comic Con. I am the Star Trek Dude on Twitter and Facebook. Bye, guys.